Hey, Lisa, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Is there anything that you wish people in Juneau and Alaska understood about the history of the Khmer Rouge?
Well, I think like most people just don't know about it simply. A lot of people, most people are familiar with the Vietnam War. So I think this is just a piece of our history that a lot of people just aren't familiar with. So I think just like telling that story that's been so important to my life and letting folks know, like, this was going on at the same time, right? It's just, there was so much going on in that region. So I think it's just a piece of history that people should know about.
In the first episode, your mother tells you the story of how your older sister was killed. And she said something that really stuck with me. I'll play it.
Oh, it took me so long to able to repeat the story.
How did you feel asking her about these traumatic memories as part of this project?
I mean, I think on one hand, I wanted to know them. So like on a very basic level, I wanted like a record of what happened in her life. It was important like for me to know because I never heard that story. So I wanted to know that. It was important that like I had had my first kid at that time, that she would have a record of that story as well. And now I have since have another kid too. I had asked my mom over years if I could interview her, and she said no. Like, she said no many times. And then I forget what year it was, like 2014 or 15. She got in a car accident and she was fine. But it was just like, oh, my gosh, you know, like this is like, you know, we could lose anyone at any moment. So I was like, Mom, can I interview you, please? And she finally said yes. So like I felt okay because she had obviously thought about it, right? And she was ready to share with me. This process of it actually publishing and like being out there, I've realized how much trust she put in me. Because, I mean, I'm sure you can relate that oftentimes reporting and journalism can feel extractive. On some level, it's like I'm doing this to my mom. And I should feel bad, but like I don't because she's giving me permission and partly because it's also part of my story. I feel mostly good about it. And then the biggest confirmation was when she listened to that first episode and she told me it was good. So then like I felt like, OK, phew. And I think I'll feel that way after each episode is published, is this like feeling of, was that OK?
And as you said, this is also your story. So can I ask, was hearing her tell it hard for you?
Yeah. You know, growing up, I remember one time that I ever heard or saw my mom cry. It just like did not happen. And so through this interview process, she cried a few times. And so that was hard. Because you never want to see someone you love, you know, emotionally distressed. But again, it was like she was okay going to that place with me. It was hard to ask her those questions. But like, I'm glad they're out there. And I, you know, there are just so many more stories. Every time I call her to like clarify something, you know, just like a quick fact check, it's like all these other things come up. And, you know, that's kind of this whole thing is like I forget how many hours of interviews we have, but it's like 60 pages of transcription. And it's like just barely scratching the surface of like her life, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you said you've been working on this story for 6 years. Can you talk about why you wanted to do it and how it took to come to fruition? Like, how come 6 years?
I had asked my mom after this car accident, can I interview you? After many times, she finally said yes. And just feasibly, she came to visit me when my daughter was born. So that was just like the longest time we were in the same location together. So just logistically, it made sense that I would interview her then. And so then, but it was also like I was starting this project after having a kid. And, you know, so just as projects go, I was working, parenting. But I, as far as like why I wanted to do it, I think in my mind growing up, like I always assumed I would tell her story one day or my family story. It was just something, you know, I was like, I'm going to do this because I've always liked writing. I've always liked sharing stories. I did not know it was going to be audio until, you know, later in life when I discovered I loved audio storytelling. But yeah, so I interviewed her, had those done, just like the process of transcribing everything and like writing. Everything just takes a super long time to do. Life gets in the way. But yeah, I mean, it just took a long, long time. It's like I don't have like a grand reason or like, what is this story about? I mean, I just think my mom is like this amazing person. And I want to share that with everyone. I think her voice is the type of voices we need to hear more. You know, when I did first ask to interview her, like she was like, I have an accent, you know, like she was pretty self-conscious about it. And it's like, no, like you have a beautiful, perfect voice. So it's just like we need to hear more voices like hers. And she's just like this amazing, amazing person. And, you know, you wouldn't know it if you just met her, you know, like people are taken by her. She's like, people love her when they meet her. But like, you would not know she has this like crazy past. And I think part of me wanting to do this was to like get a handle on everything she's done, which I still can't. It's like impossible for me to like understand what she did. But yeah, it's like we all like walk through life with like these people all around us, you know, who have these amazing pasts and stories. So she's just one of them. And I just wanted to share her story.
You've been a reporter in Alaska for years. How has that experience prepared you for this project?
I think it should have prepared me better. you know, I had been an audio reporter, a public radio reporter. And so I know how to like handle a mic and how to like where to put it and stuff. But when I interviewed my mom, it was like, I can't put this mic in her face. Like, there's just no way I can do that. Because on one hand, I wanted to make her feel comfortable. But just it was like I couldn't be the reporter with my mom. So like the quality of the tape is like, I don't think it's that great. it's really been great to work with audio engineers who can help with the quality of that tape. Like the mic was like super far away. But, you know, so outside of those technical things, I mean, I think I handled talking to her. I mean, I think it's very different. Yeah. I think the curiosity that I have that makes me a reporter is the same curiosity that I have going to her asking questions. But it's like, I would say I was a very different person. Though I'm sure it prepared me more than I'm giving it credit for because, I'm sure it did. It was just like when I interviewed her, I'm her daughter, you know? So yeah, I would say it was that like just the quality I have to be curious and ask people questions. I brought that to interviewing her, but it was just like, I don't think I was a reporter talking to her.
That makes a lot of sense. That's something I was really curious about. Yeah. So I'm going to play another moment from the first episode that stood out to me.
I've always had a narrative about what came before me, but it was something I put together from bits and pieces that I'd overheard. At various points in my life, when I tried writing about it, I always got something wrong.
Is the personal nature of the project challenging compared to reporting in city and statewide stories? And I think especially I ask this because your mom's story is rooted in historical geopolitical events, but it's also personal.
Gosh, how do I answer that? I think when I report, right, like there's always stuff. There's always more to include. And I think that's like the problem I'm running into as a reporter now is like I'm always wanting to know more and like interview someone else. But you simply can't because you have deadlines, right? Yeah, I mean, I think all stories are just like they're never finished. And so I think with telling my mom's story, I just knew that. Like it was like I'm never going to know everything. So I just interviewed her with the time we had, asked whatever questions I could, and then shaped the story around what she told me. Versus like I think when you're reporting, you kind of know what your story is kind of. So I don't know quite how to answer the question.
No, I like what you said. I like okay. that like all stories are never finished. Like it just feels more obviously true when you know that there's like this depth to it. Has hearing more about your mother's story changed the way you see your work as a reporter at all?
You know, like what I liked about this, doing this work is just like the in-depth nature to it. What's been really interesting is that like the past couple of months, you know, I've been working with Self-Evident to like restructure and get this to listeners. And I have also been doing another podcast called Private Right, which is a series about abortion in Alaska. And it's really intense to like kind of toggle between both of these stories. But like the common theme, I don't know if it's a theme so much as but that like, you know, at the root of it is like motherhood. Like there's just like, you know, and I'm a mother and I'm struggling just every day with being a mom and being a reporter and then telling my mom's story and then reporting on people having the choice or not to have the choice to be a parent. There's just like a lot of intersectionality to the work I'm doing with both podcasts that makes me pause often. And I'm just like, whoa, you know?
What episode are you the most excited to put out there?
Well, okay, I love the first episode. I've always liked that first one the most. And then with the restructuring that Self-Evident did, it's like, I love it. But I think there's something about every episode that I love as well. Episode 4 gets into details their actual escape to the refugee camp in Thailand and then their journey to America, you know, which is where I come in, you know. So I really love that one. This one that's coming out on Tuesday, the episode 2 brings in my cousin's story. So I grew up with 3 cousins and 2 male cousins, 1 female. And so this is Lynn's story as well. And so the second episode will get, you'll hear more about my mom's story, but you'll also hear about Lynn, who, while my mom and dad were like running, you know, actively like escaped from Cambodia and were just running, Lynn and her family stayed in Cambodia. And so she experienced the like forced removal from the city to the countryside, and she experienced the forced labor camp. And I never knew that growing up, you know? So you'll hear that in episode 2. And it's, you know, and I'm also just really excited for her own daughter to hear that, because I don't know if she has heard that story. And again, it's like another family member trusting me and being like really vulnerable and emotional. And I think the weight of that like has occurred to me a lot more since it's been published, is that like the trust that has been put on me, and I just like don't want to betray that trust ever, you know. So hopefully when that comes out, my cousin will like it too. But we'll see. Yeah. So I'm excited. There's something about every episode that I'm excited about.
Okay. Thank you so much for stopping by and talking to me about this.
Thank you so much for having me.